Okay, Psalm 55 today. You ready to do the speed limit? 55. Has anybody actually drove in 55 in here and like put it right, split the hair right on there? So I'm going to do it today. Good job, good job. We could talk about that if you guys want to keep going on that. Didn't plan to, but Psalm 55. So this is kind of part two of a series that we're doing here, and the psalm's called Doughhead Dummies and Iffies. And that's not to put labels on people by any means, but it's to put label on certain concepts and thoughts or statuses that we might be in or modes that we may, you know, mistakes that we're in. Hey, that was dough-headed of me to do that or something like that. So we could put labels on that, but we certainly don't want to label people. But we need to identify things that are sin. We need to identify things that are at odds with God. And those would put us in the camp of doing things of that category, of being a doughhead, a dummy, or an iffy. And that could happen to us on any given day, multiple times a day. I know I experienced that, a moment of being a doughhead or a dummy or an iffy. So Psalm 55 brings us to that last one, the iffy. And that comes from an acquaintance of David named Ahithophel. Iffy, we'll just call him Iffy for short. And that's where that came from. Ahithophel is actually the name. A little easier to say Iffy. And this was a friend of David, but he was also involved in the political structure there, the government. And his friendship with David was iffy. David experienced a great pain, and that is when you get backstabbed by a friend. The great pain of being backstabbed by a loved one. There is no pain like it. So those are the iffies in our life where it's all of a sudden, it's not a sure thing anymore. Psalm 55 brings us into that place. During the course of looking at this, we're going to tackle this issue with praising his word. Every one of these issues, doughhead, dummy, and iffies, we've attacked with a positive thrust of praising God. Praising the Lord, praising his name, and praising his word. Three on three. And guess who's going to win? The praise is going to defeat the enemy all three times. Of doughheadness, of being a dummy or an iffy. All those situations that we can find ourselves in or we can find affecting us from others around us. During the progress of this, we'll be talking about recent events in our own culture with a young lady named Lauren Daigle, who's been in the news recently. She was on the Ellen Show, and she did a great job there of putting up one of her songs. It mentions Jesus specifically. It's one of her great songs that she's done, one of the many. And then even handing out DVDs at the end of it. And that was an awesome thing, but she received a lot of criticism in from the Christian community, and even being put on the spot, she fumbled a little bit in some of the interviews that she was on. So we're going to look at some of that today, because Psalm 55 addresses being wounded by those that are supposed to be your brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Sometimes for good cause and sometimes not so. Psalm 55, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Keep in mind, this is talking about a dear friend, somebody that you thought was a friend anyway. Fearfulness and trembling, horror overwhelming. Do you understand? Have you felt that before? It is overwhelming. It's incredibly hurtful. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. And here's the reaction usually that we have for this, or at least one of multiple reactions after being devastated, is like, I want to go. I want to fly. I want to get away. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. You know, we could point at certain times in our life that we've been hurt, or situations have arisen in such a manner that we just need to get away. And this is not necessarily a bad thing. It is not the solution, though, the ultimate solution. Else you just find yourself going somewhere, then getting hurt there, then moving somewhere else, and getting hurt there, and moving somewhere else. When you're around human beings, you're going to find this is the experience of being a human being. You're going to be hurt by those that are close to you. That is the experience of humanity. I hate to report that to you today, but I also want to encourage you that you're not alone in that, that we've all been hurt by those that love us. Maybe it's a thoughtless word, or could it be even something much deeper, betrayal of some sort. And so we come to that place of desiring to grow wings like a dove, and we could talk about evolution there, and you could wait for a few million years till you actually grow wings like a dove, and maybe humans will evolve into that. After we hurt each other enough, we'll have doves and we'll just be flying around, wings like doves. No, that's not going to happen. We get in our cars, we do whatever to move away for a while to find relief from whatever situation might have hurt us. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. So David, the psalmist, writing this song here, is experiencing that great deep pain. He's overwhelmed, and he wants to be able to just get away. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. So he stops there, and now he's fantasizing. Selah is a pause. It's like, oh, that would be nice. And you're fantasizing yourself on Gilligan's Island, drinking coconut milk, and you know, you got Professor there, Marianne, and wherever else the group is, taking care of business there, all having fun on the island. But so we start fantasizing, well, it would be, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, life would be better if I was away from this painful situation. Though then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I have thought about this many times in my life, and I start fantasizing in painful situations of just getting away. For me, it would be a mountain, up in the mountains somewhere, in a little log cabin, that kind of thing, away from people that could hurt me anymore. Verse 8 says, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. The fantasy of doing so brings it to a place of, hey, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to get away. Again, I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing in every situation. Sometimes we need to get away to get our bearings reset. But it isn't the ultimate solution. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. And here's where he's going to give us the inside scoop here in verse 12. Now the plot, the conspiracy has come out in the open. This guile on the streets that he's talking about. He says, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. You can handle that. You already know the people in the world and different things that pick on you or wouldn't mind sticking their foot out and seeing you fall. And it's like, okay, I expect that. And maybe on an off day, they trip you up and it's like, ah, oh, you got me that time, buddy, but not next time. But you almost kind of expect it. It doesn't really wound that deep other than maybe getting scraped up a little bit. But you get over it real fast. This is what David is saying. I could have handled it. I could have borne it. I could have handled that burden of my enemy attacking me or saying a bad word. I already know that person and what they're like. And they're just mean. They're going to say things tomorrow at me again. And that's just the way they are, kind of dealing with that. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. You know, I know how to deal with that person in my life. Whether it's avoiding them or just burying it, just dealing with it because I've got to work with this person or whatever. You know, I know how to deal with this person. In verse 13, he says, but it was you. It was thou, a man of my equal, my guide. And this is Ahithophel. He's talking about, according to the biblical scholars, we go to 2 Samuel 15, we could talk about the different places in his life where this could have addressed, but we believe it's him. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, and this was a certain leader there, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Somebody you're attending church with even. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. This is how hurt David is. Now he's feeling like lashing back out. So you could possibly identify with this as well. When you've been hurt, you want to hurt back. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. One of the things that was shared this morning that I heard, might have been Cheyenne, what she shared, was about allowing God to do that. Or no, it was what Roger shared. God will repay. That God will repay. You know, that we need to allow God to have that space and do his job. You see, David moving quickly into this, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. So that's the proper thing to go to. So he was hurt. He felt like lashing back out in verse 15. And, you know, that's just a painful moment, having ill feelings towards that person. And then verse 16, he's like, you know, coming back to his sanity here, you know, I'm going to call upon God. The Lord shall save me. That's where we need to do business, not on the level of hurting back that person that hurt you. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abides of old, Selah, because they have no changes, they do not change. Therefore they fear not God. He has put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. This is speaking of the person that has gone against David here. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. This is the trickery of people that can come alongside of you and appear to be friends, and they have beautiful words of encouragement, words being smoother than butter, softer than oil. It feels good to be around them, but there is a different agenda that they have going on. And this was the experience of David and Ahithophel, this guy in his life that had a political agenda against David. But he would come up alongside of him, he would give him good counsel, encourage him. You know, and the thing, you go to church with him, the synagogue, to the temple, and all of these things. And his words were nice, encouraging, massaging, kind of like that kind of thing. And yet all the time he had war in his heart. That's pretty tough. That's pretty difficult. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust thee. David is working through a very difficult situation, and praise God for these things that God has allowed us to put in here. He's going to say, I'm going to put this in here because I know that each one of you are going to go through this, including myself. Psalm 55 is in there, placed by God for you and me, because we will go through this experience of being hurt deeply and being overwhelmed, trembling and horror, verse 5 talks about, of being affected, impacted so way, and having that feeling of I've got to get away. I've just got to get away. The solution comes in Psalm 56. And it's the third one of the three solutions here, all having to do with praise. praising God, that's directly just praising God. Praising his name, we saw. And then praising his word, we're going to see here in Psalm 56. One of the songs that we had today was actually praising the name. That was, I believe, the title of his song, of the song that one of the songs that were up there had to do with praising the name of Jesus. Praising his word's a little different. Let's first talk about what praise even means, so we have an understanding of that. You might confuse praise with worship because they kind of go hand in hand. You have praise songs, you have worship songs. You're praising God by worshiping him. You're worshiping him by praising him. All of this, and these words seem to be interchangeable, but they're actually very different. So we're not really talking about worship. We're talking about praise here in these last two sessions, these last two Sundays. We're really drilling down on this word and understanding it, what praise means. Praising God, praising his name, and praising his word. First of all, let's take a look at what worship is. Worship literally means bowing down. Falling down to the ground. Sometimes when someone says something like we experienced today, I get hit so big with the Holy Spirit, I've literally got to sit down or I will fall down. That's happened on several occasions. I'm not being fake up here. I've had to sit down because I'm overwhelmed with the presence of God when something hits me. Every time you read the Word of God, it's still the Holy Spirit, but when you're impacted by it, you really sense the power and presence in that Word personally. So that's, you'll see that happen to me sometimes, and hopefully that's happening to you as well. It's like, wow, that word really struck me. It struck a chord inside of me, and you feel it physically working out to where you almost feel weak in the knees and you fall down, and it's an act of worship. You're coming into this great, great submission of something powerful above you, and that's God and his word declared over you. So that's a type of worship. That's an understanding of worship. That's the falling down. That's a positioning of ourselves with God properly. He's God. We're the people. We're the sheep. He's the shepherd. That kind of thing. That's worship. It's a positioning, a proper positioning of the heart. Humility was mentioned. I think Roger mentioned today. That's comes along part and parcel with worship. Praise is a little different. Praise is like me taking a flashlight out of my pocket and shining a light somewhere in this room and putting the attention or focus on a particular thing. Praise has to do with that. A lot of times praise has to do with sound or has to do with light, illuminating something, like illuminating whatever, something in this room here. And when we praise his name, we're illuminating the name of God. We're illuminating the name. So we start talking specifically about Jesus. We start mentioning his name. We start talking about the aspects of Jesus being Savior. What does his name even mean? He's Savior for you and me. Maddie bringing that out today, how powerful that just impacted him, the simple gospel of how important that is, what it would be like without the gospel. He's praising the name of Jesus, the salvation that brings, the power of his name. This third one, praising his word, brings the flashlight, brings the attention to the specific promises of God, to his word specifically. So let's take a look at that in Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. I would imagine recently, even as a few days ago, Lauren Daigle, if you don't know who she is, she's a contemporary Christian singer. She's one of my favorites. Her music, it just really reaches out to me. So it was hurtful to see the church attack her a little bit. It was hurtful to see her put in a situation that I don't feel she should have been in. And it was an awkward thing. It seemed like a setup. And, and then she just gets all kinds of criticism in a place really that man is elevated. I don't think she should be. She's one of our hometown girls from Louisiana. She has a great talent and gift from God that she's using. And to put her on these pedestals and to start asking her all kinds of questions and try to corner her is a mistake that we can find ourselves in. So it's kind of an ugly situation when those things happen, and the world loves it, the devil loves it. But I would imagine that her recent experience has been one of this, that she feels this oppression coming upon her. Her sisters and brothers in Christ lashing out, being mean and saying things against her instead of lovingly correcting what she might need or giving her information what she does need. Is just this lashing out and criticism. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And sometimes when we're put in such places, put up high in a pedestal, we're afraid of falling off. We're afraid of losing what we've gotten, the fame and fortune and whatever else, and the accolades that we have. We're in a place of great fear. Here we see the Word of God telling us that not to fear what flesh can do, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what your fame and fortune are, is not to fear what flesh can do. Fear never has any part of our life. It's never allowed to have any part of our life, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. Verse 4 is the antidote. The antidote to all this nonsense that's going on in Lauren Daigle's life and our lives and everyone is, I will praise His word. I will praise His word. I'm going to shine the spotlight on His word. And that brings me into a place of worshiping God and being obedient to Him. You see how they go hand in hand? Every day they wrest my words. They twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. All this, so much nonsense going on. He said this. She said that. You said this. And then breaking it out into all this super analysis of something somebody said where they just might have been in a moment of just not having an answer or something like that, and then just completely attacking somebody. It's ridiculous. Asher read this morning through his daddy about the greatest thing. Faith, hope, and the greatest thing is love. When we take love out of the equation, and we're beating each other up over the truth, we have a warped, perverse truth. Because truth and love have to be in synergy together. They have to be. You separate truth and God, you're pulling God literally apart. Truth is not compromised when love is integral and integrated in it. Love is not compromised when truth is integrated into it. And the two are forever dancing beautifully. So I'll praise His word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do. Every day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. That's like hiding in wait. They mark my steps. They wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? Is that going to be their escape? In Thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. God, You know my wanderings. You know when I have to fly like a dove. Put Thou my tears into Thy bottle. Are they not in Thy book? Yes, they are. God knows every one of your tears. He knows every one of your concerns. He knows those times when you're deeply hurt. He knows when you had to take off. He knows when you had to remove yourself from situations and just wander and wonder. When I cry unto Thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. What a beautiful conclusion there, although that psalm isn't over there. That's a great conclusion. I know, for God is for me. We can start to question when we're caught up in this twisting of words and thoughts being against me for evil. We can start doubting that God even loves us. We can start feeling completely isolated even from God. Verse 9 is a rescue verse. I know God is for me. Even if I'm in the wrong, even if I did a mistake, I know God is for me. Even if I'm right, God is still for me. It's not dependent on those things. It's dependent on God's faithfulness. That is the most important tenet of Christianity, is God's faithfulness, that Christ died for me while I was yet a sinner. It's the free gift of grace. While my enemy, my thoughts were against him, he loved me enough to die for me. I know God is for me. That is like turning on a light that dispels all the darkness. Fear goes out the window. It slides under the crack of the door. It's gone. And light fills the room as you realize that God is for me. Even if I completely messed up, even if I need to be corrected, God is for me. In God will I praise his word. It repeats the thought of verse 4 and verse 10 and doubles it up. So the old bartender would say, do you want a double? Or you'd say to the bartender, I'll have a double when you're feeling wounded from the enemy. Well, here's something from God. It'll do a lot better than alcohol in the brain. This is the word of God spoken into your inward parts. Here's a double from God. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord, that's Jehovah, will I praise his word. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. I'm going to shine the spotlight on it. I'm going to shine my flashlight right on that promise of God. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. The commitment of God is upon me. It's just over me. It's stamped on me. It's burned in me like a what do they call that when they do that to the cattle?
Branding,
thank you. Thy vows are upon me. It's like it's burned right in there. You can read it in Ephesians about being sealed from the Holy Spirit. You've been branded by God. You're his property. You're a purchased possession by his blood. And that's not a property to be used like a hockey stick or a hammer. That's not what God is about. You're his property as in a bride. You're in his property as a bride that has been won by his love. The vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? So that's a question that has a built-in answer, yes. Thou wilt deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Why? Because I put my trust in him. Why? Even deeper, because God is for me. God is for me, not against me. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I feel led to tell a story about a certain type of, to give that, really drill that idea of praising him, putting the light on God and his word. It came about on a trip, speaking of a place that, of traveling and so forth, a trip back to our hometown. I was telling Gretchen, boring her to tears about the fascination of photons and light and colors and what it means when we see colors, how our eye interprets it, and all the fantastic science behind light and vision, and how God has perfectly fine-tuned our rods and cones to see red, green, and blue, and what that really means. And she's yawning and trying to hide the yawns, and we're traveling back, and I'm all about this, and I don't know why it's happening, but I find out later when I get to my mom's house and we're staying there overnight, that I go up to the bedroom and there's a poster on the back of the door that talks about all the names of God. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Day Spring, all of the things of God to speak to his name. There's tons of them. I think they're back on posters in the back of the church there. Huge list of descriptive names of God. And this was one of those. It was a poster. And it was filled with all kinds of colors. In the middle of it, it said, I am. all different shades from red. The blues were down on the bottom, and in the middle was white that said, I am. So representing all the colors coming together. God simply telling you and me that I am. It struck me to look at that because I'd just been boring Gretchen for 3 hours about colors and light and everything. And I was like, wow, that's very beautiful. Look at the colors. Talking about God's name. And wow, up here it talks about him being joyous, you know, this the great shepherd and all of this. And down here, he's the judge, you know, in the blues. And all these are speaking truths about God and the different colors and shades. And I'm like, yeah, there's something about that. And I was so tired. And I was like, no, you got to keep looking at that. Keep looking. So I did for about 5 minutes and looked at it all, read it all. And, you know, very cool, whatever. But it wasn't until later that night that I'm sleeping. And I wake up in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 in the morning. The light just happened to be coming from the street light perfectly through the window and striking that poster that was on the back of the door. And the only thing that was lit up, because of all the different names of God were in different shades, the only thing that would pick up enough light for me to see was the white one that was in the middle. And that just said, I am. And that just overpowered everything. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. And I'm still not getting it. Until the next morning, I'm in the shower. And it's like, Paul, you've been only seeing me in this little shade of who I am. You've been in the red zone here a little bit, you know. And like, I'm much more than that. And that's when I fell down in the shower and had to brace myself, basically, from falling down, hitting my head, because I was overwhelmed with the truth of God. And that brought me into a place of worship. And it's like, God, you just, yes, okay, show me who you are even more. Blow my mind, Lord God. So that was an awesome time of praising the Lord, shining an example of his light being shown and revealing who he is. And I want to continue to do that by shining light to you and to others in my life about God. And that's a form of praising him. Praising him is it's a primary tool of power in our life over these situations of being hurt, over these situations of personal dough-headedness, of drifting that we can get into, of cooling off, is praising God, his name, and his word. Thank you, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord. I'll talk a little bit about that as we close today, about the recent events. And what's happened recently is that Lauren Daigle, very popular, one of the most popular Christian artists that the world even recognizes, got invited to the Ellen Show, and she accepted, and she performed there, did a great job, and handed out the DVDs. Then the criticism came, and then for even being on the Ellen Show, because Ellen is openly declared homosexual. And so that brought attention to her, you know, crossing some lines and different things like that, where she didn't embrace it or do anything like that. She simply sang her song there, then passed out the DVDs declaring and praising God. That's been kind of the hot topic recently, so I wanted to bring that up in the light of this particular teaching. It seemed to make sense. Taking a look at this in the aspect of this particular conversation about homosexuality, Ellen, her show, I kind of compare that to the towers that were hit. If we were to react to the towers being hit with passing laws about it's illegal to fly jets into towers, do you think we've kind of missed something? Do you think we've kind of missed the deeper issue? Do you think we're kind of looking at things way too superficially? If it's all about flying jets into towers, that was the real problem. If we can just stop people from flying jets into towers, then we'll fix the problem. So we're going to pass laws. We're going to put up posters. And we're going to go around and point everybody in their face and say, don't fly your jet into towers. I think we've missed the point. There's something deeper happening, and certainly was, with terrorism and hatred towards America that needed to be investigated. Otherwise, we're leaving ourselves open up for attack because we're not properly addressing the issue. And that's the same thing that's happening here with Ellen. We're talking about flying jets into towers when we really should be looking at the deeper issue. Yeah, flying jet into a tower is an issue. But it's not the deeper issue. The deeper issue has to do with praising His Word. This is our national treasure, folks, is the Word of God. And what we've seen happen, and I've seen it personally happen with these two eyeballs here, is the Ten Commandments being rolled out of courthouses in the 1980s, late 80s, 90s, right up until present time. The ACLU's still going after places. It's still out there. There's still representations, even in Auburn. You've got a 20-foot cross down at the memorial, the war memorial down there. The whole park is shaped like a cross. You look at an aerial, the whole park is designed like a cross, and at the head of it, the highest point, is a big cross. Could you put up something like today if you're going to do that in a new city or something like that? Could you put Ten Commandments up in a courthouse today? No, but there's a reason why they were there for so long, for hundreds of years in these courtrooms. Why the Ten Commandments were up there? Because we're putting the spotlight, we're praising His Word. Do you understand that? This is our national treasure. This is the deeper issue. 1 year, 2 years before we were born, they passed legislation to take prayer out of schools. 1962, 1963, they passed legislation to take the Bible teaching out of school. Then 1964, Paul was born. That doesn't mean anything. That's part of our national treasure. That's the deeper issue. So this noise that's going on now that you see is very superficial. It's very superficial, and it speaks to a deeper issue of a nation that's lost its treasure. So my encouragement to Lauren, to us, to our nation, is to get back to praising His Word. And to deal with the root issue. To praising His Word and putting a spotlight on His Word. She does a great job in praising God, a great job in praising the name of Jesus, but I would encourage her to praise His Word. Not to be afraid of praising His Word and not answer interviews like, I don't know, or I'm not God. To praise His Word. Put more of His Word in your songs. Be bold with it. It's an important thing. It's part of our national treasure to praise the Word of God. Abraham Lincoln was not afraid of that. Our greatest president, in my opinion, was not afraid of the Word of God. In fact, Port Byron has one of his Bibles. That's really cool. The national treasure is here, right here. How many times Your Word has rescued me, Lord God, and has brought me into a place of worshiping You and knowing You more, Lord God, saving my marriage, Lord God, how many times of saving me from saying that stupid thing, Lord God, or being able to recover after saying that stupid thing. Lord Jesus Christ, I praise You, Lord God. I praise the name of Jehovah. I praise the name of Jesus, Jehovah Yeshua, our Savior. I'm speaking Hebrew and Greek. Don't get confused. Praising the name of Jesus. Praising His Word. His revealed Word to us is precious. It's our national treasure. Thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, that we can put on every bill, "In God we trust." I thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray for opportunity to return to that place of making this nation once again great, not because we have power and might and arms, Lord God, but because our national treasure has been restored to its proper place. I pray for opportunity in this town, and it's not too big. Goliath can fall. I believe all things are possible with You, God. I believe we can open up a night in this church and start declaring and putting attention to the Word of God, and start addressing some of these matters that have deceived our nation of evolution, of humanistic atheism, of telling people all sorts of lies that are causing our nation to become weaker and weaker and weaker. Lord God, I pray for opportunity. You would raise up men and women and children, even God, to restore your national treasure in the schools, in our towns, our communities, and our families. Lord Jesus Christ, it's not too late. Lord God, send laborers into the harvest. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.